Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feldman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, a podcast about staying sane in a highly technical world. I am John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And together we are the Tech Hygiene Brothers. Would that be accurate?
I think it's very accurate. It's
similar to the Blues Brothers, only we can't... Well, I play a little bit of guitar. Would you play any instruments?
No, but I do wear sunglasses at night.
Yeah, that's why I've seen you do that. So, I mean, I don't think, what's his name, Elmore or whatever, which one, neither of them really played instruments.
Harmonica.
Yeah, harmonica. So Dan Aykroyd played the harmonica and then John Belushi just kind of danced around and yelled.
Yeah. I miss Belushi.
all those guys, whatchamacallit. I was just thinking about John Candy. He was a,
He was the best.
Yeah. And guys like that, he wasn't even that big. If you look at him now, he wasn't that big compared to like some of these wackos on TV.
And he didn't OD.
Yeah.
He was like the nice, kind one. I really liked him.
Yeah, it would be a real shame if we like discovered that he was like a real jerk or whatever. But apparently Dan Aykroyd is a jerk, so that's kind of expected.
All right.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Don't meet your heroes, as they say.
Yeah. Speaking of jerks, what are we thinking about Elon now? He's the richest man in the world for a minute.
He's the second richest man in the world.
And Bill Gates was kind of like bouncing back and forth, right? You saw that he was rich for a minute, and then he stopped being rich, and then Elon beat him, and if I were a rich person, I'd probably be frustrated.
Well. Imagine how Carlos Slim feels.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah, exactly.
That guy was like the richest guy in the world for a long time, and you don't even hear his name anymore at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how's old Warren Buffett hanging in there?
He's hanging in. I guess he's what, number three?
Yeah.
Four or something like that. What is it? Who's number one? Bezos?
Yeah,
so I guess it's Bezos, Elon Musk, Buffett.
Let's see. Richest man in the world 2020. I mean, does it really matter? Bill, no, that's like Bezos, Gates.
Bezos, Musk, Gates.
Yeah, yes. No, there's a problem here. Yeah. Racing at the current 126 billion. Forbes currently has Musk in the number three spot behind Bezos, who reigns supreme at 182.
But that's not up to date.
Yeah, this was a couple. This was when?
This all happened yesterday. Oh, so they have him still at number three?
Anyway, it doesn't matter who's rich because ultimately.
We're not.
Yeah, we're not. Ultimately, these guys are deeply unhappy, I'm sure.
Elon certainly seems to be. It's just, it's so crazy. I mean, I know we beat up on Elon a lot, and truthfully, it's rightly so, because I don't understand big money, which is probably why I don't have big money. But do you realize that Tesla's market cap, meaning the value of the company, according to the stock market at least, is worth more than every other car company in the world combined? Think about that.
Yeah, exactly.
GM, Ford, Toyota, Volvo, Subaru, everybody. All of those companies that sell tens of millions of cars a year. Tesla selling 300,000 cars a year is worth more. I don't think Tesla is actually a car company. I think it's just a stock company.
That's fairly accurate. I mean, look, so Tesla became the beloved startup of the Valley guys, right? So, and then the expectation is ultimately because of Elon Musk is that Tesla's going to be the first car on Mars. It's going to be like this full whole thing that Ford's never going to get into the game. But I think we already discussed this. All Ford has to do is create a acceptably sane electric car and implement a nationwide charging system. and they'll have it done. And the fact is they can get it done far faster and far better than Tesla ever could.
Well, Ford, speaking of which, just announced the hybrid and soon to be full electric versions of the F-150, mm-hmm. which is the biggest selling pickup in the United States, has been for decades. And I saw the promotional video. It's sick. It's awesome. It's got like 500-mile range or 600-mile. And I always said, once these companies get serious about electric, that's the end of Tesla. And they're all getting serious about electric. It just, I don't get it. I mean, I hate to come off as like, you know, the poor artist who hates rich guys, but that's really not the case. Like, I'm into billionaires if they earn it and they're nice and all of that.
Well, remember, there's a whole subset of people who are just like have this billionaire like fascination. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Elon fanboys, and it's just abominable. I mean, I just wish billionaires weren't so greedy and so terrible, but I guess that's how you become a billionaire. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me why Amazon can't give their workers hazard pay or minimum wage. It wouldn't affect Bezos personally. It wouldn't even affect Amazon as a company. I just don't understand it. Wouldn't you want your workers to be happy and loyal? I'm into guillotines. That's what I'm into. I'm way into the guillotine movement. Well, in fact, I've been working on a prototype.
just a portable? You just set it up outside of
No, it's travel, but I'm working with titanium and ceramics. Oh, I think nice. Ceramic blade will be good. So
working on that. Just gotta watch out for nicking that. So I think the answer is that, well, first off, these guys aren't active billionaires. It's not the whole company that they and all the shares that they own of a company that's basically world straddling, Amazon, Google, all these other companies. Tesla's not world straddling. Let's admit that first. So the expectation for Tesla is that Tesla is the company that again populates the moon and populates Mars, while everybody else, from Rolls Royce engines down to I don't know, the F-150 is just kind of like putters around on Earth, and it's not the future. But I think not betting on a big corporation. I'm always going to bet on the huge corporation to get us to the moon versus one dude.
Yeah, but I'm also betting on the big corporation to screw things up. But truthfully, the big corporation probably won't screw it up as badly as some just individual nutcase a la Elon. True. I mean, did you see Elon said that he wants to establish, you know, the rule of law on Mars?
Yeah. He wants to be freaking, Quohagen, get these people here.
Oh, it's just, it's also weird. It's also weird. But I love that the artist comes to the rescue, Werner Herzog, very famous German out there documentary film director, who recently did a beautiful documentary on Apple TV about meteorites hitting the Earth and the effect they had. He just came out and said Elon's a madman. Yeah. And, you know, who the hell is Elon to even propose such a thing? And he's right.
Mm. I guess so. It's almost Thanksgiving. We have to think of something cheery. So we're paying Snap users. Did you see this Spotlight or whatever it's called?
Yes, I have Snap. Evan Spiegel, in his infinite wisdom, has seen that TikTok is eating his lunch, as they say, and he's offered a new program, $1 million a day, to the top Snap creators that post on Snap's TikTok cloud. So they have $1 million a day they'll give out to X amount of people to make horrible dancing videos on Snap.
Mm-hmm. So the expectation is that he's going to give out, at least for the end of this year, the company will pay out $1 million a day. So that's how many? So we got, and they say through the end of this year.
January. Yeah, like January 20th or something.
So that's a couple months. Let's say 30.
$60 million. $80 million, something like that.
And then TikTok saw its first creator with 100 million followers. So this Charli D'Amelio girl has 100 million followers on TikTok.
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah.
I know nothing about her. I know she... Yeah. I log on to TikTok every now and then just to see what the cool kids are up to. And my nieces and nephews are on TikTok. And to this day, I still don't understand it. I don't understand how to make a video. I don't understand the user interface. It seems that everyone is just doing these very awkward, slow, weird dances. And I don't get any of it. Interesting story, though. My 8-year-old niece, 2 days ago, started a TikTok account that is, the title of it is, "If You Hate Trump, Follow."
Yeah.
She's 8. She got 5,000 followers in like 3 hours. And then of course I had to talk to her mother and tell her to, you know, this is probably unhealthy and to delete the account, but yeah. it's all anonymous and no names and no pictures or any of that.
See, I don't mind having my daughter's on it. She uses it, but the trick is it's so deeply addicting, and the idea that you're going to be quote unquote rewarding kids for doing this stuff is dangerous in itself. But I mean, who am I to talk? I was rewarded mightily for writing dick jokes on the internet in blogs. So it's not like I have much to say about this.
Well, but you're an adult. You were writing dick jokes as a grown man.
Yeah.
Which might not be worse. I guess it's an arguable point, but either way, you were an adult man. And my 8-year-old niece getting jazzed about 4,000 followers for some weird Trump account is unhealthy and weird. And I told my sister as much. I was like, it's unhealthy and weird.
So ultimately there's no, but it's not our media, right? It's not our media. We're out of that new world. We have no say in it. We have no control over it.
And I wouldn't even mind it so much. Like if this Charli, whatever her name is, if she had some, if she had some discernible talents, like, you know, find me the Beatles or whatever, you know, I mean, that would be cool, but I don't see any like discernible talent at all. I don't even see an attempt at talent. I just see weird, slow, awkward dancing, and it's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this is what's happened to me, because basically the only thing I see on TikTok is people in bikinis dancing, twerking, people popping pimples, and people making weird inventions. So apparently because I watch certain things, it's basically those only three things appear to me now.
I like popping pimple videos.
Yeah, I watch those a lot. Yeah, those are really solid. That's solid entertainment. That's a good 2 minutes of your life that you could just really, really get into.
I must spend 10 minutes a day watching those and earwax removal videos on YouTube. Earwax removal videos.
But I mean, just by discussing this, we're talking about the future of media. The future of media is pimple popping videos and boobs.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably it's always been thus. I mean, the freaking, I don't know, the Toxic Avenger is the equivalent of a pimple popping video. And then Hard Bodies 1, 2, 3, 4 and Ski School is the equivalent of the boob stuff. And that's always been entertainment for time immemorial. But yeah, we but just it don't was, get it.
It was kind of niche and we knew it was a goof. You know what I'm saying? Like all those movies you just mentioned.
Yeah.
They were niche. They were campy. They were stupid. We knew what the point was, and it is what it is. But now there is no more camp, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like saying Ski School is now Citizen Kane. You know what I'm saying? So it's like saying this Charli girl is now like Joni Mitchell or something. You know, it's just. It's weird.
Maybe
I mean, I just, I think I'm more concerned with the what's considered talent and entertainment more than the platforms, you know?
I guess
it's a content problem for me, not a platform problem.
No, I hear you. It's better. So yeah, so it's so like I like it, of late, like I was okay, and I'm 45, and you're a little bit older than me, but you're not much older. But of late, the music that appears on any list that I look at is completely baffling to me.
Yeah, so, I don't know one song, one artist.
Yeah,
I've never heard of these people. It's the same thing with actors too.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is weird. Like, you know, there are no movie stars anymore.
And we could argue like up to like Mumford and Sons, right? Up to about like Hozier and all these other guys, like just that kind of like that mope rock that was popular probably 2018 or so. You hit. I could understand every single act. I could get into them. They would pop up on my radio or my Sonos or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, that's cool. I can get this. And all of a sudden now it's like 50,000 little whatevers, 50,000 mope rockers, 50,000 emo people, electronic music that's basically just like 15 people in a running Logic at the same time. It just doesn't make any sense. But that's
yeah. Any artist with Lil in the title is an immediate non-starter for me.
It could be we're aging out. We're aging out.
Yeah.
All right, last topic. We got Substack. Have you seen these Substacks?
It's great.
How's your Substack?
My Substack is dormant. I have one. I secured my name, but I'd like to have a Substack, and I'd love to have people send me money for my writing. Except, I have nothing to say. I save it all for this.
Yeah.
And apparently, there's already Substack fatigue. Which is, I read an article the other day. In fact, I think you might have shared it about how people who've made the leap to Substack are now feeling the pressure of actually having to write for Substack.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if you're at Gizmodo and you can read Biggs and you can read Dell and you can read the girls and, you know, you got a lot of people carrying the weight over there, and that's what keeps Gizmodo cool and fresh. And by the way, you're doing a fabulous job there. Just a quick aside. I've really been enjoying it. So now you take one of your Gizmodo guys, stick them on the Substack Island, and, you know, they're suddenly feeling scared and alone on this Substack Island. And, you know, they have to produce their own coconuts every day. And it's tough. Uh-huh. They're starting to feel that fatigue. I mean, that's why I've been in the content game for a long time. I used to charge. I used to try to charge on this and that, et cetera, et cetera. It's tough. I remember when I first started, I'd feel pressure to make videos. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine would, you know, I would tell him, like, you know, I don't have anything to say. And he'd be like, hey, how about you don't make a video then?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's a good idea. So I never really felt pressure myself as an artist / content guy to crank it out if I didn't feel it. But when you're taking money for people, and now suddenly this is your main form of income, you have to produce, I guess. So people are starting to feel it.
Yeah, I did a few Substacks. One was called Token Reporter that I did a couple years ago. And the whole point was that I was going to write about tokens, like crypto tokens. But the thing is, a lot of people don't get this. You got to outsource this stuff. So just like in a movie, it's not like the director goes and like runs the camera and the catering and everything. A lot of people don't understand this about writing. If you don't have a team, then you're basically sunk. And you basically have to have a certain number of people backing you up, because it's going to drive you nuts. That's why it's kind of silly to really like, okay, I'm going all in on Substack, and then Substack will pay people up until that doesn't make sense anymore, just like Medium kind of did, but Medium has failed so many creatives anyway. But if you're in the position where you have to be creating this stuff every week or every day, it's exhausting and it's almost impossible. And without help, and I learned early on after I wrote my first book. When I tried to slug it out, I spent like hours and hours in my attic and got fat. After I wrote my first book, I realized no way. It's not this. If you're going to be creating constant stuff, you can't do it alone. You basically either have to outsource that stuff or find somebody you can be friendly with and work together on. And maybe it's
And a lot of writers, they don't really understand that they actually mm-hmm. need an editor. I mean, yeah. if you're a good writer, you got a good editor.
Well, I watched that Get On Up, the James Brown movie, and they pointed out there's the show business is the show, which is James Brown, and there's also the business. And if you want to be the show and the business, it's a lot harder, and you eventually smoke a bunch of PCP and shoot a hole in the ceiling.
It's tough. I mean, really good creatives need a support system. Whether it's emotional, whether it's an editor, whether it's financial backing, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be solo, and I certainly do the solo route, but it's a drag, man. I wish I could find another puppeteer who I liked, you know?
You need your Frank Oz.
I need my Frank Oz.
They'll
learn.
They won't learn. No, nobody ever learns. It's an endless cycle of it's an endless cycle of pain and suffering until somebody wakes up into nirvana. This has been Tech Hygiene. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. This is our Thanksgiving episode. I'm making a turkey breast. I'm not making a full turducken this year.
Oh, you do the turducken thing. I love
the turducken. Yeah,
me too. Me too. We ordered
early.
Yeah, we're going to cater it this year.
Yeah. McDonald's or Boston Market?
No, we're going to do Dick's Deli down the street under new ownership. Dick's Deli, Comac, New York, under new ownership.
Try Dick's Deli.
Yeah.
Catering provided by Dick's Deli.
Exactly.
I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman. Happy Thanksgiving.
See you next week.
Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.